Appreciate very much that you're here. We have several visitors, and we appreciate that. It's good to see that Macy and Caden are here. But didn't know exactly when they were going to be getting back into the area. Glad they're here as well. Appreciate that we have this opportunity to continue our worship to God and our study from His Word. So I invite you to have your text before you, and in a moment we'll be studying together from the book of Hebrews. If you're visiting or you're here regularly, whatever your need is, if it's to become a Christian, we hope that'll be the case today. We hope that today will be the day of action, of a faith that responds to the Word of God, and to repent, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, as Jesus taught and as apostles spread, or to correct sin in our lives as God's people. We can pray together about that, if you can correct sin that needs to be acknowledged, corrected, so that we might together with full encouragement from one another in those matters, then we want to encourage that response to God's Word as well. We want to talk about faith today. It's a fundamental subject, but the question that is a probing one for me and for you is, does my faith please God? Does our faith please God? Because ultimately that's what faith is about. It's about pleasing Him. Fundamentally, it's not about pleasing people around us, although it pleases those who also walk by faith when we walk by faith. But verse 6 of Hebrews 11, of course, is that fundamental verse that says, without faith it's impossible to be well-pleasing to Him. Faith is often discussed, and unfortunately, it's often misunderstood. We want to get a Bible understanding of faith, and we want to explore that in ourselves and be sure that the faith that we have is a faith that pleases God. And if it does not please God, to make that correction so that our faith does in fact please God. Faith is not a blind leap. This is one of the misunderstandings people have about faith. They think that it's just like jumping off a 10-story building or something. You know, it reminds you of the old Indiana Jones movie, right? Where he steps out in faith, right? He's going to walk off the side of a cliff. That's not faith. It's not what the Bible describes. Faith is not uneducated or ignorant either. It's not some backwoods religion, right? That's not what faith is. It's educated. It's informed. We'll see that as we study this in just a minute. Faith is not nominal either. It's not in name only. Faith is not something that we say we have, but we don't practice. That's not faith. A lot of people say, I have faith in God, but when we live like the devil, we're not having faith in God. Faith is something that is not built on our experiences. It's not built on what we've done and say, well, that's my faith because I've experienced something. That's what I believe. I've experienced it. Or I feel something. I feel like. Well, bless your heart, I'm glad you feel something. We all feel things. But feeling something is not faith. It's not. Faith is not built upon people. I have my faith because my parents had that faith and I'm going to have that faith. But that's not what we build. That's not the faith that pleases God. Remember, we want the faith that pleases God. So we have to understand what faith is. And the book of Hebrews helps us understand that. Now, it's crucial that we begin where Wes read for us in Hebrews 10, and beginning there in about verse 35. Because the exhortation there is to Christians not to cast away your great reward. He says, you have need, and that means I have need, and you have need of endurance. Faith has to do with endurance.
so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And then he goes on to quote from Habakkuk chapter 2, the familiar passage, "The just shall live by faith." Live by faith. Have life by faith. Our life comes because we have faith in God. But notice he says we have faith that's unto the saving of the soul. There is a faith that draws back to perdition. That doesn't please God, to destruction. He says, we're of those who believe unto, in order to, in the direction of the saving of the soul. So the faith that pleases God is the faith that saves the soul. But there are types of faith that don't please God and don't save the soul. We want to avoid that so that we can answer the question, yes, my faith pleases God. And remember, it's not about pleasing ourselves either. Faith isn't built upon ourselves either. So look at verse 1 with me for a moment. To remind ourselves what faith is. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith gives substance to hope. It is the evidence of things not seen. A life of faith demonstrates, is evidence, is testimony of unseen things. Because it demonstrates that there has been a decision concerning things that we do not see, so that we live with a trust and confidence that in God's will concerning those unseen things. Faith is the evidence, it's the testimony of things unseen. It testifies of God's approval. Look at verse 2. "For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony." So their faith testified that God was pleased. Look at verse 39. "All these having obtained a good testimony through faith." Through faith, their life testified that God was pleased. You see, your faith testifies something. It's evidence of something. It's evidence that you trust the Word of God. You trust God. And that by doing so, you have a hope that goes beyond the here and now into eternity. So, let's answer this question as the text does. And by the way, as we read through this text, let me back up just a minute or blank that for a minute. As you read through this text, read through it with fresh eyes. There, beginning at the end of chapter 10, and see how many times the word endure or endurance is there. Because that is the thread that runs through Hebrews chapter 11. We very correctly often speak of chapter 11 as the chapter of faith. But see that in this chapter of faith, an undeniable element of that faith is endurance. That's where he begins. He bookends with endurance. We have need of endurance and faith that saves the soul. And he ends it in chapter 12 by talking about and showing the endurance of Christ as the example for our endurance. If we miss that fundamental point about endurance, we've missed the key element, I believe, of this text. And so, in recognizing that, he points out some things that help show faith, what faith is all about in our lives. Does your faith perceive the divine design? That's where he begins in verse 3. By faith, we understand, and in doing so, he helps define some things for us. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of things which are visible. See, fundamentally, he says, when you see something built, you know somebody built it. Chapter 3 and verse 4. It says about, he uses the house as the illustration. Every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Design demands a designer. Somebody built this watch, built this shirt, built this building. God built this world. Focus on verse 3 with that word understand. He says, "We by faith we understand." You see, faith is not ignorant. It's educated. The word understand there is not blind. Intellect is involved in faith. The word there, understand, means to exercise the mind, to comprehend or to perceive. So faith is perceptive. Faith looks at evidence, the evidence of a house built, and it concludes somebody built that house. So you see, the intellect is involved in establishing faith, right? Faith understands from the evidence that is given. Romans 1 and verse 20, since the creation of the world. Okay, the creation is now this focal point of perception, consideration. Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood, being perceived. Here's our word again, by the things that are made. The things that we see, the things that have been created, bring us to an understanding of the things we don't see. God's invisible attributes of eternal power and Godhead or Godhood. And consequently, we are without excuse when we fail to draw that perception. When we fail to draw the conclusion of faith from the evidence that is given, we are without excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse, and faith is not ignorant. It's built upon the solid evidence that is set before us to draw inescapable conclusions from that evidence, to trust in God, to recognize that He is, and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Look more specifically, really quick, at perceiving unseen things from the seen universe. We perceive the Creator. We've already mentioned that. Design demands a designer. His Word says that He spoke and it came into being. We perceive that the One who created has revealed how He did that. Psalm 33 and verse 6. He spoke and it stood fast. It's an evidence of His eternal power. In the beginning, God created. Romans 1:20. This world exposes, testifies of the wisdom of God. This is something we maybe don't think of as readily, but we ought to. In Proverbs 8, wisdom speaks. And in that text, wisdom speaks that the Lord possessed wisdom at the beginning. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I've been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there ever was an earth. So wisdom was a companion with God before He created everything. And so when He created, verse 27 of Proverbs 8, when He prepared the heavens, I was there, wisdom says. Wisdom was present. Look at the symmetry. Look at the seasons. Look at any aspect of this physical world and you see the magnificent design and the wisdom and power of it. Divine nature is also seen in creation. When we consider ourselves, Paul said we must conclude that God is not made of stone and gold or silver. Acts 17. We understand. By faith we understand. You see, we cannot reject divine creation as the origin of the world and have a faith that pleases God. If we reject divine creation, we don't believe in God. You don't believe in God. You don't have faith in God. That's the fallacy and fiction and failing of theistic evolution. To think that God created evolution or used evolution to create the world. No, sir. God spoke and it stood fast. Now, changes occur, within species and such as that, but not from rocks to living beings. No, God spoke by His power and by His wisdom, and we exist because of it. By faith we understand. The next large section of Hebrews 11, 7 through 22, leads us to this fundamental question: does your faith act on God's promises? We're trying to answer the question, does my faith please God? Well, does my faith act on the promises of God? Does it act when God speaks? Noah prepared an ark, verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Household, and by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, that's according to faith. That's an important statement. The righteousness that's according to faith is the same kind of faith Noah had. My friend, if you believe that all you need to do is just believe in Jesus and you'll be saved, understand that's not the kind of faith Noah had. He did more than believe a flood was coming. But when God told him a flood was coming and prepare an ark, he obeyed God. He obeyed the commandment of God. It's not enough to simply believe what God says. Saving faith, the faith that is under the saving of the soul, is a faith like Noah's that obeys when God speaks. Does your faith please God? When Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. When he says, put away lying. When he says, love one another. When whatever the commandment is, do we have faith that pleases God? Do we act when he speaks? Look at the next section. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob. God made promises. God made commandments. God told Abraham, leave your country. Genesis 12. Leave your kindred, leave your country into the land that I'll show you. I'll make of you a great nation there, and of your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And later in the land, he said, I'm going to give all this land to your descendants. And so by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Wow, what a trip. Do we go when God tells us to go and we don't know where we're going? Well, in some ways, yes. I mean, spiritually, we've become a Christian. There's a lot of things we don't know yet, but we know we want to go to heaven. We know we want to please God. And we don't know what's going to be between here and there, but we know we can live by faith. And we can face whatever things we face in life as sojourners, as pilgrims, because now we've determined this world's not our home. That's all in chapter 11. Verses 13 through 17. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. But, watch this, having seen them from afar, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Here is the faith that's the substance of their hope. Verse 1. They hoped for a land. They hoped for those promises to be fulfilled. They didn't actually have the fulfillment in their lifetimes. God brought about those fulfillments. But what they do in the meantime, they lived by faith. It assured their hope. So that they say plainly, they declare, they seek for a homeland. They look for a heavenly country. They weren't just concerned about the land. They were concerned about pleasing God. And a heaven, they desired a better place. Are you desiring, does your faith please God? Are you desiring a better place? Or have we made this world our home? See, that's his emphasis. That's his point here. A faith that pleases God, this passage tells us, obeys God. It trusts that God is faithful. Look at verse 11 with Sarah. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful. A faith that pleases God judges that God is faithful. And so it endures. She endured a lot of years, unable to bear a child, along with Abraham. They endured that period. And God blessed her with a child. She trusted that God was faithful, that God would keep His word. It's not blind. It's not uninformed. It takes the word of God and says, I trust God because God has said it and God is faithful. So is that how we're living our life? Close to His word, close to God, trusting what He says and following His will in our lives. You see, it's sustained by hope. Look at verse 10. Look at what he did. Abraham waited along with Isaac and Jacob. He waited for the city. There's the endurance. For the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Sarah endured. She was past the age. See, they waited. They waited. They endured. They kept on. And God, in His faithfulness, rewarded them. So that's the kind of faith He calls us to have. Does my faith please God? Well, does my faith act when God speaks? When God has given His word? When God has given commands and promises? When God has spoken expectations of me, do I act upon that? Or do I content myself with believing what He says, but believing my faith is enough even when I don't act on what He says? It's not enough to have a faith that's unto the saving of the soul. Hebrews 10:39. But now look to the next section. And it poses to us this question: does your faith respect Christ above all? Does your faith respect Christ above everything else? And this is a section that talks about Moses particularly. And time and again in the life of Moses, we have, and I know we're not touching the hem of the garment of this passage, trying to get the overview here. Look at how his faith pleased God. And we ask ourselves, does my faith respect Christ above everything else? Moses' parents were not afraid. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. The king's command was to kill every male child. Faith is not deterred. It is not afraid. You think, well, that's unrealistic. We're all afraid at times. Here's a fear that's not overtaken by man. It's not deterred by the moment of danger. The Bible says they were not afraid. Do you believe it? Or are you going to rationalize it? I don't know. I'm going to take God at His word. He said they were not afraid. Wow, that's a lot of faith. When their lives were in jeopardy by keeping that child alive. Right? Hebrews 13. He'll go on in this book to say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will not fear. That's a tall order. To not fear what man can do to you. You see, faith will not be deterred by the ungodly threats that come from the ungodly. It's a powerful lesson. Look what else. Faith that pleases God is not dictated by advantages, or we might say also by disadvantages. Moses had a lot of advantages in Egypt, as you recall, as the Pharaoh's daughter finds the child, raises him. His Hebrew mother actually nurses him, the story goes, and the explanations in Exodus. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Again, here is the endurance of faith that assured his hope. He would not be dictated by his present advantages. You know, he had the advantage of the wisdom, the instruction, the education, and the power of Egypt. Acts 7 and verse 22, it says he was mighty in word and in deed. You know that? That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. When God called him, though, he said, I'm slow in speech. Right? But he wasn't. He just didn't want to go. God explained it to him. He helped him out. He had an advantage in Egypt. Physical advantages. Material advantages, treasures, position, power, wealth. He had all those advantages, but that didn't dictate his faith. His faith rose above those things, and he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He made a choice. It was a choice of faith to endure trials, affliction, because of a hope he had and had been taught and was instilled in him. And so by faith he forsook Egypt. He forsook Egypt. Have we forsaken Egypt? Or do we long for the melons and the leeks and the flesh pots of the sin from which we came, from which God delivered us? Temptation is to go back to Egypt. Does my faith please God? Or do I let my circumstances dictate whether or not I'll have faith in Him? You see, faith makes deliberate choices. He made deliberate choices, as that passage bears out. He forsook Egypt, verse 27. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea, led by Moses, as God opens the waters, parts the sea, and they pass through. They made a deliberate choice to walk through those waters. It was God told them to. God showed His power and gave them deliverance that day. Faith that pleases God has to respect and elevate God, elevate His Son Jesus above everything else. Jesus would teach in Matthew 10:39, he who saves his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it or save it. We have to give our life to Christ to be saved by Christ. Crucify ourselves that Christ may live in us. Galatians 2:20. Live how? By faith, that passage says. Paul says, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He endured the cross. I'm to endure this life of trials that I might live eternally with Him. So, does your faith please God? Well, does it respect and elevate and obey Jesus above everything else? And then in verses 30 through 40, faith overcomes tremendous odds. Faith overcomes tremendous odds. In this passage, that's emphasized repeatedly, as by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Rahab did not perish because of her faith. And then he says, what should I say more? He talks about the period of the judges and the kings. Of course, Joshua, by faith, led the people into the land. They took the land of Canaan. The judges, God would send deliverers, even though they would relapse into sin and they would fall under the suffering that sin produced from invading armies. But they would cry out in sorrow to God, and God would save them, send a deliverer to fight the battles and win, and beat the enemy. And they'd have peace for a period of time. Then they fall back into it. And God is patient and long-suffering. But there were people of faith all that period. They kept their faith in God. They served Him faithfully, and God granted victories. Now, Look at 1 John 5, 4 and 5 with me in that respect. Because those were all God's victories that they had. Joshua won the battles, but it was God who gave them the victory. God gave them Jericho. God gave them the land. He promised it. He delivered it. He gave the victories. Now look at 1 John 5 and verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So, like their faith that God used to bring about victories for his people, our faith gives victory over the world, but it's God's victory. It's God's power. It's not us and our power. But we must have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Of course, he's particularly dealing with an error there. They were undermining faith in the deity of Jesus. But it's the deity of Christ that sets him apart from everyone else. And our trust in him as the Son of God. And the victory that brings to our lives when we live by faith. You know, there are not many Christians in the world. The odds in the world are stacked against us. It's just reality. There are not many of us. But you see, the victory is in Christ. And so the victory is our faith in Him. Now, do we believe it? Is, I guess, the question. And if we believe it, we endure. You see, we continue on. We walk. We practice that faith in our lives. That's what I take from this passage here. They face trials, and he enumerates those. And as you read through that list, you see how incredible their faith is. And the Old Testament is filled with these examples of faith. But then he comes down to the end of that. And of course, we're to follow these examples and through faith secure our souls. Peter talked about in 1 Peter 1. But he comes down to the end of this and he says, the world's not worthy of them. And yet, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. The fundamental promise in the Messiah. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. It is Jesus Christ that binds together the saints of all ages. People of faith from Adam's time to this moment and to this very minute. It is Jesus who secures our salvation. So verses 1 and 2 of the 12th chapter, he emphasizes that point as he calls us to endure, to have faith unto the saving of our soul, as these people demonstrated faith that endured. And because of Jesus, they have the promise in Him that we now have through His gospel. Does your faith please God? These people of faith looked for God. They searched for God and they found Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek after Him. They sought Him. They found Him. They were called by Him and they responded to His call. And they endured in this world because of the hope that was secured to them by understanding and trusting in the Word that God revealed. Will we have faith that pleases Him? We will if we have faith like they had. Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? If He were to come today, will He find faith in us? The call of the gospel is to live by faith, to be saved by God's grace through faith. We have life when we will trust the Word of God and obey His will and endure unto eternal life. If you're not a Christian, become one today. The Word of God says the gospel goes out into all the world. It's God's power to save. He that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that doesn't believe will be condemned. So put your faith in God this morning. Repent of your sin. Be baptized into Christ. And then live faithfully, by faith, each day. If you haven't been living by faith as a Christian, God will forgive you. We'll come to Him in humility, cleanse our hands, purify our hearts. Seek Him. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. If we can help you as a Christian, or we can help you become a Christian, please come while we stand and sing.